It's time for Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Doug is a certified financial planner, providing you with a personal financial hotline to answer your questions about tax planning, investments, retirement planning, estate planning, and education planning. Doug and Linda are the owners of Lewis Financial Management, a registered investment advisory firm in Raleigh, providing financial and investment services since 1983. Doug and Linda will be answering your questions on WPTF's phone lines anytime during the next hour. Call 860-9783. That's 860-WPTF. Call toll-free 1-800-662-7979. And for mobile phones, it's star 680. And now, Doug and Linda Lewis and Money Matters.
Hello there, North Carolina. This is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner, once again welcoming you to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Money Matters with Doug and Linda has been providing you with a personal financial hotline for all of your questions about investments, estate planning, tax planning, money management, and retirement planning for over 20 years. And again, with me as usual tonight is my wife, Linda, who works with me in our firm, Lewis Financial Management.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. Doug and I are the owners of Lewis Financial Management, a registered investment advisory firm in Raleigh, providing investment and financial advice since 1983.
For over 20 years,
we've been answering your questions on the WPTF phone lines. They are your questions and our answers.
So sit back and enjoy, or if you're free, call us tonight on the open lines. We'll take your calls anytime during the next hour. You're free to call in and ask any financial question about your own personal financial planning. Call us at 860-9783. That's 860-WPTF. Or you can call us toll-free long distance at 1-800-662-7979.
Well, financial planning is everyone's business, and still for most folks, money matters are just a big puzzle. Folks have questions about planning for retirement, planning for a child's college education. They don't know the difference between financial planning and money management. They want to know a lot these days. They want to know what's a mutual fund, what's a limited partnership, what's a REIT, what's a will? What's a living will? And yes, it really can confuse you. But you're not alone. Because in a world crowded with new investments, changing tax laws, rapidly evolving insurance products, and volatile economic cycles, more and more people are looking for clear direction in their financial lives. And yet, unfortunately, the busier and the more successful they are, the less time they have to sort out their financial affairs. And people are asking, is there any solution?
Well, yes, Doug, there certainly is a solution. Out of this increasingly complicated financial environment has come a new breed of professionals that are trying to solve people's money puzzles. And that's the Certified Financial Planner.
It's the Certified Financial Planner who offers something that people don't get from the traditional stockbroker, money manager, accountant, insurance agent, or bank trust officer. And that's a way to consolidate all aspects of people's financial affairs into one financial plan. It's the Certified Financial Planner who knows how to pull together all six areas of a client's financial life.
Doug, I think for many people, the first area of financial planning is cash flow planning, with questions about their emergency fund, their mortgage, their credit cards, and reducing their debt.
Well, yes, Linda, and yet for many people, the second area of financial planning is retirement planning. Those who are working want to know how to compute what they'll need to live on during retirement and how much they should be saving for retirement. They want to know what investments they should choose from the choices in their company's 401k plan. Others are retiring and have received a lump sum payout option from their company's retirement plan, and they want to know, should they take it? And if so, how should they invest it?
Well, Doug, the third area of financial planning that must be dealt with is estate planning. For most people, over their working years, their estate has grown. How can they reduce their estate taxes? And they wonder, are their simple wills sufficient, or maybe they should be considering the complicated world of trusts?
If that's the third area, Linda, the fourth area of financial planning cannot be overlooked. This is tax planning. People are interested in both tax reduction strategies and tax reduction investments, home mortgage interest, charitable giving, tax shelters, tax-free bonds, questions about capital gains taxes, estate taxes, gift taxes, and how to sell real estate tax-free using trusts. What a confusion.
Well, Doug, we can't forget the fifth area of financial planning, which is insurance planning. How much life insurance does a family really need? Do they have too little insurance or maybe too much insurance? Should they have whole life, term, or universal? Should they have long-term nursing care coverage?
You're right, Lynn. And of course, the sixth and most important area of financial planning is investment planning. Here, the questions never stop. What's the best way to diversify my investments? Is now a safe time to invest in stocks? What about bonds? What kind of stock mutual funds, bond mutual funds, equipment leasing partnerships, REITs, CDs, gold, annuities?
So, Doug, it seems that at last it's time for people to understand that a certified financial planner is really the only one who can tie together all six parts of their financial puzzle. And to you out there listening, if you've got a question on your mind about cash flow planning, retirement planning, estate planning, tax planning, insurance, or investments, call us now on the open lines and we'll answer your financial planning questions. Those numbers to call are 860-9783. That's 860-WPTF. Out of towners, call us toll free at 1-800-662-7979. And if you just want to sit back and listen to the callers through the years, welcome to the show. Welcome, North Carolina, to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis.
Securities offered through HBEC Inc. Investment advice through Lewis Financial Management. Lewis Financial Management and HBEC Inc. are not related entities.
You know, Doug, folks can access the program live stream on WPTF.com. So if you happen to be at your computer, you can listen to us live from your computer by just logging in live stream. And what a wonderful day it's been today, huh?
I don't think many people are carrying around their computers today. It's beautiful. That sky was just incredible this afternoon.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here at the show, Doug. I wondered. I prayed a lot for you this afternoon. How was the skydiving?
Skydiving was tremendous. That was really great. I've been wanting to skydive for years, and at last I took it. Advantage of the opportunity. I have to put a plug in for Triangle Skydiving Center. They have this tandem skydiving program, and it was a lot of fun. It really was. I went out there to out near Lake Royale and the Boone and the Bun area, and golly day, it was a beautiful sky, beautiful time. You get up there at 14,000 feet, and then they just push you out of the plane.
Oh, my goodness. Better you than me.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. It really was.
Well, I'm so glad to have you back, dear.
Yeah, I would highly recommend those folks. They've got a good good act together. They're trained. They strap you in with another person. So when they push you out of the plane, you got another guy who's strapped to you. And you're like, sort of like a turtle with one underneath the other. And you're flying through the sky with no parachute yet. They are the Triangle Skydiving Center, and they're out at the Lewisburg Airport Road, and they even have a website. It's www.triangleskydiving.com. So when I got back on the ground, I told them I'd have to put a plug in on the air for them because that was more fun.
Check that off your bucket list.
That was good.
Well, Doug, what an interesting week. Historical week we had last week, or with the market swings.
You know, it's really funny, Linda. Meeting with clients and looking at a 12-month historical in analysis of their portfolios, the ones that we met with in August, at the end of August, and mid-August, towards early September, they were just, oh my, what's happened to our portfolio in the last 12 months? And now all of a sudden, the ones that we're meeting with, oh my, what's been happening to our portfolio? What a difference in October makes. You know, we are actually online right now on target to have the highest October. Now, who knows? We've still got a couple more days. But the highest October in history, well, at least since, I think it was 1987.
25 years.
Is that what it was?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So who knows? All we know is that it's a great country, and the worst thing you could do is to be taking your money out of the stock market and betting against the United States. That would be a very serious mistake, in my opinion.
You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. If you've got a question, call us on the open lines at 860-WPTF. That's 860-9783. And if you're out of town, it is toll-free at 1-800-662-7979. Well, and also you can visit us on our website at LFM. That's LFM Advisor, ADVISOR.com. Well, Doug, as far as the skydiving.
Yes.
I'm so glad that you took care of your estate planning, because most people do need an estate plan, don't they?
They do. And, you know, I was really happy at the FPA, the Financial Planning Symposium that happened this past week, to see that topic come up. A lot of people feel, Lynn, that now that we have a $5 million, maybe call it a $10 million tax-free estate law.
Federal state tax.
Yeah, we don't have to worry. But that's not exactly the whole story. And, of course, the symposium was great.
Now, this is the Financial Planning Association symposium for the Triangle Chapter that was at the McKimmon Center.
Right. There, the Financial Planning Association of the Research Triangle, our local chapter. I am on the board. I'm a board member of the FPA. And we hosted the all-day symposium. We had a number of very interesting speakers. One was a speaker giving a session on behavioral psychology in the world of investing. And another was one on the mechanics of ETFs. What other sessions do
another
we have,
one
Linda?
On estate planning.
Estate planning, yes.
Corporations.
Mm-hmm. And then the different retirement plans available. Very interesting sessions. But I was really happy to see the focus when we came to the estate speaker who spoke on estates, that you can't just bet on a $5 million or $10 million tax-free estate and therefore no more need to have an estate plan. It's just not that way.
Doug, you know, if people have assets, you know, a lot of folks, maybe you have a car, you have some nice furniture, you have children, and, you know, life seems to be good. But a lot of people procrastinate. So, and I've spoken to some listeners that have called in at the office, you know, they're getting ready to retire and they have grown children and they've never created an estate plan. So here we are at the end of another year, the last quarter of the year. Why do you need a will or a living trust? Don't procrastinate, but can you tell our listeners, why do you need a will or a living trust document?
Okay. First of all, let's take the hot news that is making many people feel like they don't need any help. The hot news is that now the first $5 million of an estate is tax-free if you leave it to anyone other than your spouse. And there is an unlimited amount that can still be left to a spouse tax-free, which basically says that you can leave your spouse $100 million if you want and have no estate taxes, and she can then leave $5 million to her children tax free. And if you do it right, you can even have a portability of the $5 million that the first spouse didn't use passed to the second spouse. So if you do it right, so the story goes, you can have $10 million that can be passed to the children. Now, all of that is confusing a lot of people because they are therefore saying, we don't need an estate plan then because we don't have $10 million. You see? Well, let's pop that bubble a little bit. First of all, it's absolutely true, except it's only true if both of you die before 2012, because that law is only for those who die in 2011 and 2012. What we don't know is what happens after that. And most professionals, such as myself, most estate planners, tax attorneys, and financial planners feel we will have some new estate tax law. So don't assume that what's there now will stay forever. Okay, then we come to the other matter of what you need in an estate plan. First of all, a living trust is still a very valuable asset, or a very valuable tool to use. A revocable living trust is a trust in which you transfer everything you own into this trust today, and then if you become incapacitated, disabled, or whatever, you have made provisions for what happens. You haven't died. You're just disabled. You've had a stroke. You're incapacitated. And because there is a trustee to this trust, who is usually yourself, to be followed by a successor trustee, usually your spouse, or a child, then automatically you've made provision that there'll be no problem. Again, there is the question of, well, what about the power of attorney? Doesn't that work? And no, that doesn't work as well. The revocable living trust is much more powerful, is much better planning, and you should have a revocable living trust in most cases. Now, I shouldn't say all cases. I need to look at the exact numbers of the client's estate. So when they come in to see you and me, Linda, in the office, we always want to see all of their assets. But a living trust is still a very important thing to have in many cases. But then the question is, well, if I've got a living trust, do I still need a will? And the answer is, yes, you still need a will. The main purposes of a will, if you are young and have children, is to name a guardian for your minor children. You know, the guardian's job is to take care of the kids until they reach adulthood. And if you are older and you don't have minor children, then you simply need a pour-over will, which says, everything I forgot to put into my living trust, such as my automobiles, my furniture, and all the personal property, just pour it over into my revocable living trust and follow the instructions over there. So yes, you need a will, and you need a living trust in many cases.
So if you have a will, then you designate someone as your executor, and that person's job will be to pay your estate's bills, to pay any taxes that are due, and also to deliver what's left to your intended heirs and charitable beneficiaries as well.
Right.
So make sure you have a will, and if your will is outdated, make sure you get it updated, at least by the end of the year or the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it's the type of thing that most people don't take care of, because when they go to see a financial planner, they think it's a real financial planner who's doing everything for them, but what they end up with is just a money manager who's just giving them investment advice and is not looking at the other half of their world, the estate world. So you need to have your estate plan updated, especially now. Not only do we need a will and a living trust, we also need to have a living will. Now, you understand what a living will is, of course, Linda, right?
Yes.
Tell us what's a living will.
Well, a living will is a document that is a directive, if you will, with the pull the plug provisions, if you will. And you want to have that drawn up so that if you are incapacitated, and certainly when family members have a spouse or a family member that has a severe disability.
More than severe. The living will is for when you become vegetative.
Exactly. You are
on artificial life support, maybe artificial nutritional support, and your preference is to not be placed on life support are written down, pull the plug, and remove me. That's a living will. That should be there. What else? We need a living trust. We need a pour-over will. We need a living will. We should have HIPAA authorization. HIPAA authorization is important because HIPAA authorization right now is the only way that your spouse or your children will be able to get medical information from you about you from the doctors. They won't give it to you unless there is certification ahead of time, which you have indicated you want them to have the rights to get it. And then, of course, we also need a health care power of attorney. What's a health care power of attorney? A health care power of attorney is a power of attorney which says, I give medical decision making to such and such a person. Typically, it's your spouse or your children, and very often you give more than one. But let's say that you come out of surgery and the doctor recommends you need another type of surgery and you're not able to make that decision. You're not permanently disabled. You're not on life support. But who can override the doctor?
Make those decisions.
That's a health care power of attorney.
Made, yes.
Right. So these are the items that should be in an estate plan, and to ignore them is very wrong in my opinion.
And remember, if you die without a valid will, state law generally controls what happens to your kids and your stuff. This is not good. You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. If you've got a question, call us right now on the open lines at 860-WPTF. That's 860-9783. And toll free at 1-800-662-7979. Well, Doug, some good news and some bad news. You know, there's a lot. Progress Energy is in negotiations to be bought out by Duke Energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so some of those folks are going to be retiring before too long.
That's right.
And so there are decisions that have to be made. If you happen to be a listener tonight and you've got decisions that you have to make about your retirement, make sure you write down your questions, work with a competent financial planner. If you have questions, you feel free to call us at the office here in Raleigh at Lewis Financial Management. Our number is 872-7000. That's USA 7000. We'll be happy to meet with you or answer any questions that you may have in that regard. Also, Doug, I saw on the news that Whirlpool is going to be letting go about 5,000 of their employees because I guess folks are not buying appliances, so they're shutting down one of their factories, et cetera. So when people lose their jobs, what are some of the important things that they need to remember?
Well, I think the first and most crucial issue is to not overreact, but to find proper help. And proper help is a person who is not a salesperson. You want to meet with a fee-based certified financial planner. That's a financial planner who charges by the hour to give you impartial advice about what to do. Because the suddenness of the life change can throw you for a loop. And you can make decisions which are irreversible later on. I don't want to mention a specific client that I'm thinking of, Linda, but you and I know that just last week she has been given the news that she will be retiring, and she asked you to go with her to a pre-retirement session, but that pre-retirement session was given by a person who had products to sell, right? Therefore, the first thing you should do is find a fee-based certified financial planner that can go ahead and walk you through what are your options. Now, your options may have to do with medical insurance or not medical insurance. They may have to do with pension or rollover of a 401k or what to do about your Roth 401k. There are a lot of issues that are going to be facing you. And the emotional turmoil of having lost the job is not the time to be dealing with it. So I think that's the first and most crucial thing to do is to find proper help.
I agree, Doug. And if whatever your situation may be, write down your questions. Sometimes losing a job, when one door is closed, there may be another door open, a new opportunity. Maybe it's time for change. And, of course, if you do have a retirement plan with your present employer, once you separate from that employer, as you said, you may have the option of rolling over those retirement funds into a self-directed IRA.
Yeah, let me address that for a second, Linda, because that's a very important point. Most of the time, a 401k is being handled by a brokerage firm that's in a relationship with the employer. And that's just the way the world works. But when a person loses their job, then they have options. The first option that the IRS gives you is you can take your 401k. You couldn't before, but it's yours now. Then comes option two. You can roll it tax-free into an IRA. And at this moment, very often, the representative of the company that was handling the 401k says, oh, we can help you. You can roll it into one of our IRAs. Well, that's not the way that you want to go. You want to go ahead and get some independent advice, because obviously that's trusting the fox to guard the hen house. That's the same brokerage firm that was handling the 401k. So you've been waiting for the day, supposedly, for when you had control of it. So I would say watch out for that. We see a lot of that out there.
You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. Call us in Raleigh if you've got a question at 919-872-7000. That's USA 7000. We'll be happy to send you some information regarding our services. Or if you have a question about pre-retirement planning, portfolio construction, estate planning, or college funding, call us at Lewis Financial Management and visit our website at LFMAdvisor.com. And I believe we have another caller.
Hi, Kate. This is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner. How can I help you?
We have been talking to a financial planner, and he has suggested a variable annuity to supplement some of our other retirement investments.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know what your opinion of that kind of an investment is.
Tell me a little bit about your situation, and maybe I can fine-tune my answer.
Okay.
How old are you?
59.
You're 59 years old. Are you married or single?
Married.
Married. What's your income?
About nine. Well, now it's very much lower than it used to be. It's about $65,000 a year now.
And that's coming from the husband or the wife?
The husband.
That's coming from the husband. Is the wife getting does she bring any income in?
Very small amount.
All right. Now, the wife or the husband, who's 59?
I am.
The wife is 59. How old is the husband?
61.
Husband's 61.
And he will be fully retired when he reaches 62.
All right. So his income is going to drop next year?
Yes.
All right. Now, looking at retirement income, well, first of all, let me
back up. He's partially retired now, which is why his income has already dropped.
All right.
But actually, his income should increase when he's totally retired because of the investments we have.
Well, I'm going to ask you about that next.
Okay.
But I want to know about the guaranteed income.
Uh-huh.
From his pension, and is he going to take early Social Security, or what's he going to do?
Yes.
Okay, so what is the estimated guaranteed income could be next year when he's 62?
I only think in after-tax terms,
okay.
So that's what I'll give you.
All right.
It's about $50,000 a year.
All right. So it could be about $50,000 guaranteed. And then what are your living expenses on an annual basis? I imagine the financial planner went over that in depth with you.
You know what?
What?
I don't know the answer to that question. I could do it, but I'd hold you on the phone.
Well, I mean, when you met with your financial planner, didn't you spend a lot of time going over your expenses?
No, we didn't.
Then you didn't meet with a financial planner.
Okay.
No, you must have met with a salesperson.
Well, actually, it was a salesperson.
Okay.
He's the one who's trying to sell this.
Right. Well, we want to be very careful about definitions. You see, we want to find out. A financial planner plans,
uh-huh.
and a true financial planner, a certified financial planner who is charging you a fee for the time you're spending there with them, whether it's an hourly fee or a fixed fee, which is the only kind that you should be seeing, by the way, that kind of planner should start with your living expense needs and then back into the kinds of questions.
Our number in Raleigh is 919-872-7000. That's 919-USA-7000.
For the moment, let's assume that your expenses are $50,000 a year.
Well, they're not, but anyway, we'll assume that for this exercise.
Right. Most people underestimate their expenses. You have to build in there your desired number of travel expenses. That many people travel more after they retire. Gifts to the children, clothing, all the other things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're saying that you're absolutely sure that his pension And Social Security is going to cover your lifestyle with all the luxuries that you may or may not want, then you don't need to touch any investment income. Mm-hmm. Now, if that's the case, let's go over to the investments. What do your investments look like right now?
Well, our investments look very good.
No, I mean, what are they?
Oh, what are they? They're bonds, mutual funds.
All right. How much do you have in bonds?
I'm just looking here because I've got all that written out. In bonds,
mm-hmm.
We've got $85,000 in one bond fund. We have about $500,000.
And what else do you have? Is that the majority of your portfolio?
No, we've got another $59,000. We have two IRAs. One's $82,000. The other's $49,000.
Mm-hmm.
We have some other stock investments that are around $300,000 in various stocks. And then my husband's profit sharing, which he owns his own company,
mm-hmm.
at this point is $310,000.
All right. You've got a rather complicated situation when the numbers start building up, and you've got a terrible portfolio. I don't like it personally, okay? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the air going through each of the items, but overall, it looks to me like my real question is, why are you going for a variable annuity? Because a variable annuity, although it will let you defer paying tax on the growth, it's going to also be taxable in your estate at the time that you die, and there'll be no step up in basis.
Okay.
So
we're considering it, but that's why I was calling for your opinion too.
Annuities. You understand a variable annuity is an insurance contract,
right?
By the way, which one are you looking at?
I'd rather not go into that.
Because that's the crucial issue. You see, a variable annuity is an insurance contract that wraps around mutual funds. So it's the funds themselves that are the most important part, not the insurance contract.
Mm-hmm.
Annuities are insurance contracts that work sort of like a non-deductible IRA. You can put in as much as you want, but taxes are deferred until you take it out. Now, you're 59, so you don't have to worry about the 59 penalty. You can start taking money out when you want. But you're paying a charge for an annuity.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike a fixed annuity, which guarantees a conservative rate of return, a variable annuity lets you pick your own investments from the different menu of mutual funds, but your return is going to vary according, to the fund's performance.
Mm-hmm.
The insurance portion of that variable annuity guarantees that if you die before you start withdrawing the money, then your beneficiaries are going to receive all that you put in, but they will pay tax on the increase.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to if you have a $500,000, how much are you going to put into the variable annuity? What were you thinking of putting in?
$250,000.
Okay, so you put in $250,000, and since you're only 59 years old, you're a relatively young woman, you live another 35 years, and it grows to be $2 million. Well, if you had $250,000 in a mutual fund that grew to be $1 million, let's say, or $2 million, and you then died, they would get that amount. They could sell that $2 million and pay no capital gains tax.
I think I need to call you off the air.
I appreciate the sensitivity of trying to be specific when confidentiality sometimes is very important to people. But I hope that gives you at least something to start with.
It does.
Yeah, and Kate, we're real happy that you and your husband, I'm sure you're hardworking people. You've accumulated these assets. You've been blessed. But you want to have some direction, right?
Right.
So that, whatever his exit strategy is from the business. And, of course, when you all decide you're not going to be working.
That's next year.
You know what I mean? When you wanted to just be retired and travel and do the things that interest you at this stage of your life, that you'll be able to do it with ease.
Mm-hmm.
And working with a financial planner, and particularly a certified financial planner that's fee-based, can assist you in helping you and your husband get that direction. Yeah, Kate, if you'll call the office, I'll be happy to go through that in detail.
Uh-huh.
That number in Raleigh is 919-872-7000. That's USA 7000.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Doug, there was an article about the risks of exchange-traded products. What about the exchange-traded products? products?
Well, I'm concerned, Linda, that Kate and many like her are drawn into these new ETFs. And ETFs, I say new because the press has brought them so much in front of the public's eye that it's pretty hard to go anywhere today without hearing about ETFs or exchange-traded products. Too many advisors and investors are failing, however, to acknowledge the risk in ETFs, which and you know, it's not only ETFs there. Now there are these ETNs, which are exchange-traded notes. And this is a product that I think is ready for a big explosion, a big problem coming. You know, Lynn, it's doubtful if there is any financial product that has ever grown as fast as ETFs have. I looked and once saw one chart that said that starting with zero in 1990, ETFs now control $1.2 trillion, not billion, trillion dollars in assets, which is just shy of the entire total assets held by all the hedge funds. The growth on those ETFs,
That's astounding.
Yeah. Well, this is not the number I'm going to give you next is not how well they've done, but how much money is going into them. The growth of them is 40% per year. So this new product called the ETF is capturing a lot of investor dollars. And while the blessings of ETFs are many, in some cases they are there, the risks, in my opinion, are far, far greater. And I was really happy to hear during the Financial Planning Association symposium the other day that the speaker acknowledged the same thing. These are not for the faint of heart. These are for traders. These are for people who are trading. These are not long-term planning products. You know, there's no product produced by the financial services industry that's ever created with the primary objective of benefiting the investor. That's not the nature of investment products. They are designed to profit the designer, and then come the risks. Well, the biggest beneficiaries of ETFs are the creators and the managers of the funds, and the existence of ETFs makes it easier to invest the real benefit flow back to the sponsors. And I know that sounds a little bit cynical, but that just happens to be the facts. The creators of ETFs are asset management firms whose purpose is to increase their share of assets under management. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. They want to increase their assets. So if with that kind of growth, 40% per year.
So you can capture more of the investor dollars that are out there. And then you know what happens? The fees go to the firms. So they're capturing those with the intent of generating far more fees to the firms that are producing them. In a broader context, the desire to gain share and therefore profit has been the engine leading the nation into many a financial crisis in the past. And I think that's what the articles that you and I have been seeing warning about the risks with ETFs that are in Financial Planning Magazine, Advisor Perspectives Magazine, the risks associated with them, their proliferation is really the red flag. It's creating new risks or it's masking existing risks. And tell you the truth, one of the truths that I have learned during my time advising clients is that financial engineering does not remove risk. It merely disguises it and moves it over to another location. And I haven't even talked about the unusual ETFs like commodity funds and things like that. So I think enough to be said. Beware. Don't jump into the ETF
mania.
You can get yourself really hurt. Even the SEC is looking at them
now.
You
have to have your eyes wide open about ETFs. And that's not to say that, you know, folks that are that have a little bit more riskier skin can handle it.
Yeah, it's a mutual fund that's traded like a stock. That's what it sort of smells like and looks like and so forth. And so, but when you are dealing in nanoseconds, computerized trading,
yeah.
As the speaker told us the other day at the FPA convention that we went to, the speaker there, he said, you're dealing in nanoseconds. Computers are moving so fast that this is not for the faint of heart. Now, there is a way to approach the world of investments, however, because I think we're in a wonderful investing environment right now.
And why do you say that, Doug?
Well, I could say because Warren Buffett says so, but that's not the best answer. I think that our nation is full of very positive signs. Yes, we have some negative signs. Yes, we have high unemployment. And the statistics we saw when we went to the symposium, when they blew it up on a map across the United States and we saw county by county, some of the counties were way, not 8%, 9%, 10%. Some of them were in the high teens and low 20% and so on. The 8.8 is just an average across the nation. Yes, that's a problem. And yes, we have a housing problem that we heard about. Is going to get worse and worse and worse over the next 4, 5, 8, some people are saying 10 years.
Yes, there's a problem over in Europe.
And yes, there's a problem in Europe. But aside from all of that, our companies, the General Electrics, the John Deere's, the Caterpillars, the McDonald's, the large companies.
Walmarts and McDonald's.
They are, Lynn. They are producing profits and building up cash themselves. And the way you can tell is by dividends.
The virtues of dividends.
That's the answer today. If you want to go ahead and play it right, look for mutual funds who are investing in companies that are paying high dividends. These high payout stocks have the ability to offer something that even bonds and money markets and cash can't. And that's real return. And that's what we're seeing. We are seeing that there are some outstanding opportunities out there for long-term planning by focusing on dividends. And the other asset class, which is very interesting, believe it or not, are the high-yield bond funds, otherwise known as the junk bond funds. Both the high-yield bond funds and the high-dividend-paying funds are looking like two of the most attractive classes for long-term planning right now, and we shouldn't be afraid. I think the worst thing to do is to stay away from the stock market, because there's no reason to. We are growing. Our country is growing. The economy is growing, and I think it could be the best of times that we will look back on and say, wow, this was wonderful.
You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. If you've got a question, call us on the open lines at 860-WPTF. That's 860-9783. Out of towners, it is toll-free at 1-800-662-7979. And, Doug, let's take a caller.
Let's see who's on. I don't see a name. Hello, this is Doug Lewis. Who's on?
We're going to take the caller soon.
So we get some information.
Yes. Doug, you know, as you were talking about dividends and how folks, well, when you were talking about ETFs and the fees that are generated by these ETFs to these large management companies, you know, on the personal side, folks need to look at what are they being charged in fees. Because
that's a very good topic, Linda, because fees can hit you from a number of different ways. Now, first of all, we have to understand there is no free lunch. People don't work for free. So fees, when properly understood, are important. But there are fees for financial planning advice. There are fees inside of mutual funds called 12B1 fees. And there are fees inside of investments themselves back to the firms that put them together. Let's take Jeffrey's call first, and if we have time, we'll come back to this matter of how to look at the world of fees. Hello there.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First time caller, first time listener.
Well, thank you for calling, Jeffrey. This is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner, and Linda Lewis, and we're happy to have you on the show tonight. What's your question?
Well, you were discussing dividend paying stocks or funds, and there's a local company that your listeners could look into as a possible dividend paying stock to keep their money local.
Yeah, we don't mention any specific companies on this show, and we don't mention any specific even any mutual funds or investments. We are financial planners, and we give financial advice. If you have a question about your own financial world, I'll be happy to answer it.
No.
How old are you, Jeffrey?
I thought it was great that, you know, they pay almost a 10% dividend, which is excellent for a local company.
Yeah, Jeffrey,
I'm 41, eh?
Are you 41? Are you married or single?
Single.
Single and married. What's your income, Jeffrey?
Single.
Maybe around 55 annually.
All right, 55,000. You're single, 41 years old. That's good. What do you know what your living expenses are? Are you able to go ahead and put anything away above?
Probably food, clothing, shelter, maybe $1,600-$1,700 a month.
All right, so that means that after everything, you've probably got a significant margin that you can put towards your own future, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm.
I would recommend for you, have you accumulated anything yet in any investment portfolio outside of retirement funds?
Yeah, I'm a trader.
Okay. How much
of a better term?
Yeah. How much do you have in non-retirement cash accounts?
Maybe $1,000.
Okay. And in retirement accounts?
That would include your 401k, right?
Yes, 401ks and IRAs.
Oh, I don't know. It might be about $12,000.
Okay, so it sounds like you're just starting out, Jeffrey, and I commend you for being interested in your financial future. A good book I would recommend for you is called The Wealthy Barber.
Wealthy Barber.
And what the essence of that book that I like is what we call a pay-yourself-first plan. You probably won't like me
I push that on I let my children know that from as soon as I can tell them. Whenever you're working, make sure you pay yourself first. What's that, Dad?
The question then, of course, is how come you haven't accumulated very much, Jeffrey? If you've only got $1,000 accumulated, then where has it all been going?
Let's call it the tragedy of getting involved with the family court industry.
So you've recently gone through a marital situation.
Well, the family court industry is a giant octopus that sucks up as much money as it can.
Well, let me just give you the advice before I run out of time on the air.
Sure.
You should, number one, do no day trading. Number two, you should put aside at least 10% of your gross take-home pay and send it into a value mutual fund, which is high dividend paying.
Yeah.
You should not go for a local fund by any means. You should only go for large national or international funds that have possibly over $30 or $40 billion. And
I got about a third of it tied up in Southeast Asia.
So that would be my advice to you. My biggest advice is if you'd like to come in the office and meet with us or meet with some other certified financial planner, that would be good because you're still young enough to where you can accumulate and achieve financial independence at an early age.
Yes. Your listeners just need to understand, stay away from the family court industry because they'll take everything you got.
Well, Jeffrey, have a great life, and thanks for calling the show. Well, Doug, you know, we were having this discussion earlier about
fees. Right. We have a few minutes before the show runs out, Lynn, and it's a very important topic because fees confuse people. First of all, there are the fee that you pay for buying a product. That's called a commission, or it could be called a load, but it's a sales charge. You need to be careful of those. Then there is the fee you pay for advice. the advice that you pay for someone to tell you what you should be doing, which is best for you. That's financial planning advice. And then there are the internal fees inside of investment products that are structured. Now, there is a benefit to packaged products, a very big benefit. It's the reduction of risk by means of diversification. A person, in my opinion, would be a fool to try and play the stock market on their own because they're always betting against somebody else they don't know, and that someone else they don't know is usually bigger than they, and they're going to lose money. But the packaged products are safer. They're diversified, like mutual funds and so forth, but they have fees inside of them. You need to look at them. So each of these fees need to be looked at, analyzed, understood, compared, and probably a financial planner who is fee-based is the best person who's qualified to help you compare fee structures.
But and look at how much you personally paying for your money to be managed. Because the fees can be very high, sometimes up to 2%.
Ooh.
That's pretty high.
That's pretty high.
Well, everybody have a great week. Thanks for joining us on the show this week. We love you, North Carolina, and wherever you may be.
You've been listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Money Matters provides you with a personal financial hotline on any subject where money really matters. For more information, you can call Doug and Linda in Raleigh at 872-7000. That's USA 7000. Listen again next Sunday at 6:05 for Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on 680 WPTF.